Ladies and gentlemen, as we consider the subject born again Christian, I ask, is not a Christian one who has been born again? Is not everyone who has been born again a Christian? Is it one thing to be born again and another thing to be a Christian? These are important questions. Now, let us honestly and seriously consider the question, what does it mean to be born again? What does the Bible teach about the new birth? Let us consider the very statements and declarations of Jesus Christ concerning the new birth, and then we shall discuss who is a Christian. First, we're going to observe the imperative need of being born again. Jesus declared, "Ye must be born again." There are two parts to that simple declaration. You must be born again. One must be born. Two, must be born again. Of course, the again must refer to being born, but not the first or natural birth. In fact, Nicodemus asked for clarification. Thinking of the natural birth only, he inquired if there could be a birth the second time. Two births are contemplated in this divine declaration. Now, secondly, we are going to determine from the Bible what is the new birth, based on biblical facts, and not superstition or subjective or personal experiences. Thirdly, we shall learn from the Bible account that the new birth is a spiritual birth, the birth of a child of God into the family of God, the kingdom of God. The new birth is the result of facts and conditions, not the figment of man's imagination. The Bible absolutely and positively refutes the idea that one may be a child of God or a Christian at one time and later in life be born again. Or one may at one time be born again and then later become a child of God. Surely you can begin to understand already that the modern born-again Christian concept must be in conflict some way or other with New Testament teaching and firm declaration of Jesus Christ concerning the new birth or being born again. Now hear the reading of the word of the Lord in John 3, verses 1 through 7. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came unto him by night and said unto him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no one can do these things that thou doest except God be with him." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except one be born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except one be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." Before actually determining from the Bible what is the new birth, and who are they that have been born again, may I further point out the basic error of the mistaken in their philosophy of the born-again Christian. The very expression itself implies that some people may be Christians who have not been born again, just as the Gallup poll to which I've already referred indicated. But Jesus plainly and most positively declared that it would be impossible for one to be a child of God or a Christian without being born again. In fact, the birth is the very process of becoming a child of God. The word again relates to birth, and the word birth relates to the child of God. They are inseparable. If one is a child of God or a Christian, he has been born again. If one has been born again, he is a Christian, a child of God. Everyone. Not just some who have special experiences. These are basic scriptural conclusions. Now, what is the new birth? The new birth, being born again, is as essential to entering the kingdom of God, becoming a child of God, as is the natural birth to entering the family of man. Hardly had Nicodemus finished his words of hope and assurance when Jesus spoke a truth that destroyed the very foundation of his religion. Jesus declared, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." This declaration was beyond the understanding of Nicodemus. As a Jew, he had entered into the family and nation of God by natural birth. The Jews expected the kingdom to be a worldly kingdom. Consequently, they would claim membership in it by reason of their natural birth. Jesus obviously knew this. Therefore, the reason for this immediate and mighty declaration of truth, you must be born again. Wonder and amazement seized upon this ruler of the Jews, and, confused in mind, he asked, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter into his mother's womb a second time and be born?" The only birth relating to the kingdom of God that Nicodemus could comprehend was that of the natural birth. And this new doctrine taught by Christ, whom he had acknowledged to be a teacher from God, struck from under him the very foundation of his religion. By this teaching, he was denied membership in the kingdom of God, unless he be born again, although he was a Jew. Seeing the confusion and amazement of Nicodemus, Jesus replied in more definite language, easier to be understood. "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except one be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again." To be born again, therefore, is to be born of water and the Spirit. Jesus said so. Ladies and gentlemen, I say, are you listening? Many people today are just as much confused regarding this matter as was Nicodemus. They do not understand the new birth. But the Word of God plainly instructs us as to what constitutes the new birth. One cannot be in the kingdom of God unless he has been born again. Remember, Jesus said, you must be born again. As certain as Christ is the Son of God, one must be born again to enter into the kingdom of God. The new birth is one birth, not two, one birth of water and one of the Spirit. It is a birth of water and of the Spirit, one birth. There are two essentials in the birth, but it is only one birth. There are two essentials in the natural birth. One, the begetting. Two, the birth. The same is true in the spiritual birth of which Jesus spoke. In the new birth, one of these essentials is the Spirit, and the other essential is the water. In the natural birth, one is ascribed to the Father, while the other is ascribed to the Mother. When a child is born into a family, he is begotten by the Father and born of the Mother. In the spiritual birth, that is, the new birth, one is begotten by the Spirit and born of the water, that is, when he is buried with Christ in the act of baptism, as Paul described in Romans 6:3-4. Born of the Spirit is to be born of the Word of God, the seed of the kingdom. What does it be born of the Spirit? In 1 John 5:6-8, it is revealed, "And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three who bear witness, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three agree in one." The Spirit is the truth, the apostle declared. In what sense is the Spirit the truth? To answer this question, we must know what is the truth. The answer is found in John 17:17. In the prayer our Lord prayed to God, he said, "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth." The word of God, therefore, is the truth. Furthermore, the word, the truth, is the seed of the kingdom, as you may read in Luke 8:11. Life is in the seed, which is the power of regeneration. Man is begotten of the Spirit through the word, the truth, the seed. In John 6:63, Jesus declared that the words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. To Christ, Peter declared, thou hast the words of eternal life. John 6:68. Christ promised the apostles, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he shall guide you into all truth. John 16:13. Furthermore, he declared, and when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. John 16:8. The Spirit to the Word of God, the seed of the kingdom, is the same thing that life is to a grain of corn. Life is contained in the seed. We do not see the life in the grain of corn, but we know that life is there and God put it there. We are told that today some chemical laboratories have been able to perfect a grain of corn so nearly like the real grain of corn that even the chemist cannot distinguish between them in the laboratory. But there is a very definite way to tell the difference. Plant them and see the difference. Chemists may make something that looks like a grain of corn, but they cannot put life into that seed. Should one plant a man-made grain of corn, it would stay in the ground and rot without reproduction, because there is no life in man-made substance. In the God-made grain of corn, there is life. I say again, life to the seed corn is the same thing that the Spirit is to the Word of God, the seed of the kingdom. James wrote, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. James 1:18. It must be concluded that since one is begotten or born of the Spirit, he is begotten of the Word of God. He is begotten by the Spirit through the Word of God, the seed. This fact is affirmed by the Apostle Paul in his writing to the church at Corinth, when he said, but though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you have not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I begat you through the gospel. 1 Corinthians 4:15. The Christians at Corinth, those who had been born again, were begotten through the seed, the truth. But the Spirit is the truth. That is, it is equated to the truth in 1 John 5:6-7. Therefore, they were begotten by the Spirit through the truth, the Word, which is the seed of the kingdom. Not only were they begotten by the Spirit, they were born of water, as revealed in Acts 18:8. They were baptized into Christ, buried with Christ in water, and born of the water. As further evidence of the fact that men are begotten by the Spirit through the Word of God when they are born again, I refer you to another text of inspiration, 1 Peter 1:22-23. The apostle declared, seeing you have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth, now listen, having been begotten or born again, not a corruptible seed, but of incorruptible through the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Certain inevitable facts are deducted from this statement of inspiration. 1. The apostle was writing to those souls who had been purified. 2. Their souls were purified through that obedience to the truth. 3. They were begotten again. 4. That by which they were begotten was the truth, the Word of God, the incorruptible seed. Certainly, beyond any doubt or question, these facts must force us to the very definite conclusion that these people to whom Peter wrote this epistle had been born again. They were begotten by the Spirit through the Word of God, the seed, which was the first essential in the new birth. Hear me, my friends. Are you listening? There is no doubt about it. To be born of water is to be baptized into Christ, buried with him in water, born of water, as directed by the Word of God. It is amazing how many men sometimes pervert the Word of the Lord in order to defend some human theory about salvation by faith only, which denies that baptism is essential to salvation. Some religious leaders have said that water does not mean water in this divine statement of our Lord. Some say that water here means spirit. Just one question. If water means spirit, then why did not Christ say spirit? Would it not be rather absurd to accuse our Lord of saying, except one be born of spirit and the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God? Who would suggest that water is the same thing as spirit? John said, for there are three who bear witness, the spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three agree in one. Water is essentially related to salvation, just as the spirit and the blood. Obviously, the water and the spirit are not the same. Neither are blood and water or blood and spirit the same. Bible scholars are in general agreement that water in this scripture refers to baptism, while spirit refers to the Holy Spirit. When Christ said water, he meant water. Just what other word would he have chosen to mean water if he had not said water? Obviously, water, not buttermilk or apple juice. In Acts 8:36-38, the eunuch said, behold, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And they both went down into the water, and he baptized him. Further conclusive evidence is found in Acts 10:47, when Peter said, can any man forbid water that they should not be baptized? Water has no relationship to the kingdom of Christ other than water baptism. Therefore, water in John 3:5 can refer only to water baptism. Don't forget that Paul affirmed that there is only one baptism, Ephesians 4, verse 5. Born of water, therefore, is to be baptized, immersed in water, and born of water.